we're reminded that the whole creation has been created to do just that. Let's pray first before we look at the text. Dear Father, we thank you for sending your own dear Son into the world to redeem this world and to cause our hearts to be filled with a deeper and more profound praise. And we pray today that as we listen and ponder the ministry of Jesus, the resurrected Christ, that we might more fully and deeply appreciate all the aspects of creation that your dear Son, together with you, Father, brought into being to reflect your glory and to show forth your praise. Lord, help us in our personal lives to live lives that are to the praise of your glorious grace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. One of the blessings of Christians is that they are able to really replace and displace at times the pessimism and the cynicism that enters our hearts, the disappointments and the sadness, and to replace that or see that replaced with praise. And one of the prime ministries really of Jesus is to come into the world and to live a life of praise, including in his deepest sufferings, to rise from the grave having borne our sins, and to remind us time and time again that this world has a great future, that the creation itself has an enormous future because Christ has been raised from the dead, because the Father planned that, and to teach that to our children and our children's children is an essential part of our ministry. So I'm glad we've got a psalm like 148, and these last closing psalms is 150. The last few really call on the whole of the creation, and finally all the instruments join in psalm 150 and praise the Lord. One of the great truths of the creation is that God spoke and brought the creation into being, and he has spoken to the world through Christ Jesus, and that speaking has also been a doing. The creating was also a speaking and a doing, and the doing is this action of redemption. So creation and redemption and ultimately glorification. One of the beautiful pictures we get of this is in the revelation of St. John the Divine in the 21st chapter. He says he looked and he saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. Now that vision that he saw, the passing away is the it had gone, the creation filled with sin and death, and the creation now as he saw it was renewed. There's two words John could have used there. If he'd used the word neos for new, that would have meant brand new as in never seen before. But he used a different word. He used the Greek word kainos, which means renewed, restored, glorified, the same creation made new. And that is one of the great mysteries, but it's also the fulfillment of what Peter saw when he was pondering suffering, and he was writing in his first letter to the church, and he said that in chapter 5, he said that, yes, you've got all these sufferings, but we are to entrust our souls to a faithful creator. That is, the one who brought the creation into being will faithfully see that creation through to the goal and the plan that he has for it. Not that it goes so haywire that he puts that first creation in the bin and starts with another one. No, that's not the biblical story. Some of our hymnology does give us that idea from time to time. But it's a transformation, it's the renewal. And we saw that in one of Peter's first speeches or first sermons in Acts chapter 3, where that man at the outside of the temple was amazingly healed by the ascended Jesus. They said, "I haven't got any money or gold, but in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And this man who couldn't stand up and couldn't walk was commanded to do so, and he stood up and went walking and leaping and praising God. And then in the explanation of all that, we have Peter saying that what's happened, he's saying that you need to change your minds about God, turn to God so that your sins can be wiped out and times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah appointed for you, that is Jesus, who must remain in heaven until the time of universal restoration, Acts 3:21, universal restoration that God announced long ago through his holy prophets. And so the plan has always been for universal restoration. And here we see the creation in Psalm 148, and some have called it the universal choir. That is, the whole of creation is singing, is praising the Lord and doing what it was intended to do. And so the first line begins like this: praise the Lord. And we begin above our thoughts, above our sights. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. And then we pick up in verse 2, praise him, all his angels. And so we're reminded of the angelic creatures. Quite often at communion we say, we join now to praise God with all the angels and archangels. So the big gun angels as well as the ordinary angels. And we're joined together. But then there's another word introduced here: praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host. And so there's the host, there's the army of heaven, and that host includes, as a scholar in recent times by the name of Mike Heiser has reminded the scholarly community, that there's a heavenly host. That is, there are angelic beings, but there are also creatures, sometimes referred to. Psalm 29 says, ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. And he stumbled across this one morning in church when he listened to Psalm 82. And it says there, God has taken his place, Yahweh has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. So it's the word gods is a little g, his is a capital G, but there's this heavenly host, there's this these creatures all created, but they have responsibility for the nations, and he's developed a whole book on that my son Jonathan's reminded me to read a few times, called The Unseen Realm. So there's this whole unseen realm that's part of the action of creation. And it gets a mention here this morning in Psalm 148. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host. And then it goes on to the other bodies that we can see and begins maybe as far away as they could imagine at that point. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. And of course, we've been told since these days that there are galaxies out there just full of massive big stars, all created by the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, together with the eternal Son, the one who became the Messiah. Jesus is involved in all of this. And so when Christ comes into the world, he's the one who's formed the whole of the creation. And so when we're called upon to praise God, and all of these heavenly bodies are called to praise God, it includes those farthest galaxies that the Hubble telescope or whatever else is out there hasn't even yet found. Just extraordinary. But our minds are meant to expand and marvel at the wonder of the creation, and to teach that this creation should praise the one who made it. It's not an accident. It's not just something that happened and is there. If we teach our children that, they'll become pessimistic. They'll become cynical that there's no creator. It's just an accident. There's no destiny. It has no ultimate glory. It kind of happens to be here, but it's all one day going to just end in a very sad burning up of planets, and humanity is gone, and that's it. No wonder so many of our young people are so profoundly depressed, so blessed with material things, but so deeply depressed. If they don't know, and we don't teach, and we don't carry on their behalf the hope that is already guaranteed by an ascended Christ who's carrying the creation forward, who's calling on all the creation to praise God for his wonderful plan. Makes a difference. It makes a difference how you live. So here, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. God spoke the creation into being. He commanded. He sent forth his Son, and the word, that spoken word, became flesh and lived among us. The same commanding God has organized the creation and the redemption, and will yet organize the glorification of the entirety of creation. And you and I will be a part of the whole thing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So he commanded and they were created. And I'm just going to dwell for a little moment on that word commanded. Do you like to be commanded? You've got Adam still residing and Eve still in you. Jesus said, I delight to do the will of the Father. I love to be commanded. I learnt to be commanded as a police cadet, and the sergeant or someone would say, jump, and we would say, how high, sir? And away we went. We learnt it was a good idea to be commanded, because if you didn't, then you'd get some more commands and wish you'd obeyed the first one. So, but that may have only been a self-preservation on our part. We're really talking about a willing participation and being called and commanded to engage in the Lord's plan, to be intentionally praising the Lord, living your life to the praise of the glory of God. You know, Spurgeon was said to be one of the greatest evangelists because of the way he preached, but apparently people were converted when he one day was talking into a different group, maybe a secular group or whatever, about a seed catalogue. And the catalogue was talking about various seed that you could buy. Farmers are all putting in their seed at the present time. Marvellous thing. See, but as he talked about the seed, his life was filled with praise for the Creator. And the way he went about that was so utterly full of praise that people saw that witness breakthrough. They probably knew he was a minister, but they sensed something. He'd grasped something. Have you grasped how wonderful is the plan of God? And are you by faith engaged in it and will never not be engaged in it? That is our hope. That is our future. That's what we must teach in the face of all the atheism and other things. Just have to learn to ride the bumps about that for a while and pray that others will see the mystery that's been hidden for ages in God but has now been revealed in the birth of Jesus Christ and in the coming of God into his own world to wake us up to redeem us, to lift us up, to bear our sins, to deal with that darkness once and for all, and finally say, now that's finished. Look forward in hope to the big thing that's yet to be. Live in hope. This is why we praise the Lord. Psalm continues on. He established them forever and ever. So there's an underlining of this eternal nature of things. Praise God because of that. He fixed their bounds which cannot be passed. This is an important aspect of creation. Aspect of creation is that the whole creation is sort of full of life and movement and action, and you can come and go wherever you please. So there's a wonderful autonomy and freedom in it, but there's also a fixed nature. God has fixed the bounds of things which cannot be passed. It's telling us that he's in control of the whole thing, even when we, with our scientific reasoning and so on, work out and it looks like no one's in control. These psalms are bearing witness to us, telling us, no, the Creator who's made these things has got all things in his hand. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps. I was pondering this verse and I marvel what's happened even in my lifetime. We used to like the story of Moby Dick and used to like to hear about how they got whales and used the whale fat here when they sort of landed, and there were whales that got all stinky on the shore and were, you know, people used them as a great resource, and there were fishing boats out, you know, gallant fishermen out catching these whales. But then we overdid it to the point that we needed to start to preserve the whales and care for the whales. And now, isn't it wonderful to be able to go to the Great Australian Bight out past Ceduna or down to Victor Harbour and look at the whales, you know, swimming in the water, the calves, the beauty, the glory of them, to study these great creatures of the deep and realise that they've been placed there to praise the Lord, to declare his glory and marvel at his goodness at what he's done in giving these creatures and creating them. Fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind, all fulfilling his command or fulfilling his word. These are some of those aspects of creation that we can't control. Sometimes they trouble us, bother us, worry us, and even take our lives. But fire, you know, it's still marvellous to, you know, as a little kid you see matches and then your eyes light up and you can't get over how marvellous this stuff is. And my dad was like that. He burnt down a pig shed at Manura once, set a light to it, he did. But fire is one of God's gifts. It's a beautiful gift. It can wreck and ruin whole suburbs and hills with homes and devastate lives. But it's also a very important part of our creation, and fires break out mostly from lightning and other things. But they are fulfilling his command. The fire and hail. Hail, if you've had your car, the Duco, hit by a big balls of hail and dents it and wrecks it, and you have to have a fire sale to sell off the car yard or whatever. You know, we're reminded that they can damage crops in a moment. Fire, hail, snow. We know the Melbourne Footy Club love the snow. A little couple more month or so's time, they all go off to the snow in Mount Buller. Beautiful. The snow is, in Tasmania, people used to say to us, be careful if you go camping in the hills, even in Christmas time, because the snow can come in and you can die out there. And we used to think, oh, sure, you're joking. You know, South Australians, we don't have snow like that. But these aspects of creation are there to remind us it's not there are things beyond us, frosts, those crops, you know, we can grow beautifully out here at maybe Farrell Flat, and then, you know, just towards the end of the season, a frost can come and destroy all of that handiwork. I think you have to get, you know, fans out there, guys. Put the fans out so the frost doesn't kill everything. Wind towers, that's it, wind towers. They look like big fans, thank you. So all of these aspects are fulfilling God's plan and purpose. They're intricately called to praise the Lord, fulfilling his command. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. When you see a mountain, do you feel like you need to climb it? Not anymore, no. Okay. Anyway, nice big mountain up there, good. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. You know, everything praises the Lord. Just pick a peach fresh off the tree and yum. You know, the wood, the cedars, they could build things there. God has put all this there to be to the praise of his glory. And then included are the wild animals. The you know, from little children, we love the lion and tiger and the elephant and the giraffe and so on. Wild animals and all cattle, they're there to praise the Lord. Ah, yeah. Katrina, there's some of us are just really on this one. All cattle, praise the Lord. You know, they've got tourism now where you can go and lie on a cow and just let all of that stress just drift away. You cuddle up there. The cow lies in the clover. All cattle, creeping things and flying birds. The bird life, how many hundreds, thousands of bird types just beautifully making that noise as they come in and settle at night, all the cockies in the tree, kookaburras laughing at us. But God has created every little bird. Look at the birds, said Jesus. Have a look at the birds. And if your heavenly Father feeds them, how much more will he look after you? And so we are to see this whole creation. Kings, it comes down now from the flora and fauna down to the humanity. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth. ScoMo praises the Lord, doesn't he? He's a very, very happy man. But we should all praise the Lord, win, lose or draw. All of us are called upon to join in, young men and women alike, old and young together, join in that chorus, that one universal choir, form the whole thing and together praise the Lord. Verse 13, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. In the end, all the wonders of creation point us towards our Creator, that we might learn to love him and bless him and know him and honour him and enjoy him and believe his word and trust that all's well. He's got the whole world in his hands, the song goes. And we knew it then and we should know it now. Finally, it finishes on this. His glory is above the earth and heaven. So the greatness of and his glory, the outshining of all that God is above all of that. And then it finishes on this verse 14, a little bit mysterious. The NIV, I think, says he's raised up a strength for his people, but the translation here, he has raised up a horn for his people. Funny, you'll see that right through the scriptures, this thing called a horn. And maybe we don't have that much to do with horns. We don't use them for, you know, bugles so much anymore. But a horn, with an animal is its strength. It's the part that's the toughest, and it also wards off the enemies. And so when you think of God having raised up a horn for his people, if you read one of the other psalms, like, say, Psalm 18, it says things like that the Lord is our strength and our deliverer, and we read about him being the rock and the horn of our salvation. So the rock and the horn of our salvation, the strength of our salvation, is this God who comes in, but he comes as one true human being, and he comes to deal with sin. He comes to deal with death. He comes in the strength and the integrity of God himself, but he comes as a human being to unravel and undo the death that sin has brought, to bear our guilt so that we might be forgiven, to take away our dullness and our sense of God not being fair, and to show us that he himself is willing to enter the deepest suffering in order to redeem the whole creation. This strong one, the horn of our salvation. I remember a YouTube video a number of years ago, and it was a little goat, and he was having a horn lock and a fight with a great big, it was a beef cattle, a bull with big horns, and this little goat sized up to the big bully, and he had a very hard head, the goat, and he just kept tinkering away and pushing until the big bully, the bull, turned and ran away. It was quite hilarious, really. But just to see a little goat able to use his horns to ward off this enemy. Jesus Christ has used all that he has and all that he is to defeat the enemy of death, to defeat the enemy of the powers of evil, those angelic creatures that turn from God, though the whole of evil's power, which is deep and profound and horrid and shocking and works awful things in the creation. But this one has come, the horn of our salvation. He's raised up. And God has done that since Moses. He raised up one to rescue them from slavery, Joshua to get him into the promised land. He raised up people like Rahab to help, people like Esther and Ruth, people like Deborah to lead them in a time of need. He raised up David as a king, and he gave them salvation, but he's given the whole human race this strong one whose name is Jesus Christ himself. That's pretty much the message of Psalm 148. And you should praise the Lord. You should go out and praise the Lord and live every part of your life to the praise of his glorious grace. And I should too. This message is for me. You know, one of the temptations when we have all the other conversation of the world going on is a temptation to be depressed. Do you feel it sometimes? Does it happen to you? Do you sink down into that? And so you need to hear again the word of the Lord when he commands you and says in the face of this, praise the Lord. Praise him. Give him praise and thanks. Turn outward and praise him, and you will discover anew what the Almighty can do, who with his love befriends you. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we thank you for the hope of regeneration, renewal, transformation, and for the presence of Jesus in our lives now, the rock, the horn of our salvation, the strong one. And Lord, we lean upon you in our times of weakness, in our times of sadness, in our times of grief and suffering. And Lord, we look to you and remember you in times of joy, when we We marvel at the beauty of the world you've created. Lord, give us good courage to teach these things and to share them with the world for whom Jesus died. So we praise you with all of our hearts, and in every time and place, help us anew to praise you, praise the Lord. Amen.